There's no stopping us right now.
Welcome to Act Local, marketing for small business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps concerned, confused, and even clueless small business entrepreneurs market simply, safely, and successfully. Join Kaylin for some Monday morning marketing madness that will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Whether you need help with online media, social media, video, or mobile marketing for your local business, this marketing black belt will guide you into the 21st century with easy tips, tricks, and techniques that get your local business seen and heard. And now here is your host, third degree black belt, speaker, seminar leader, engineer, and internet marketing entrepreneur, Kaylin Amadio.
Well, good morning. You are listening to Act Local Marketing for Small Business coming to you from New York. This is Alan Berkson sitting in for Kaylin Amadio. I am the Director of Community Outreach for Freshdesk, a cloud-based customer support platform. As a small business, you wear many hats, and Freshdesk helps bring order to the chaos of customer service communications. After all, customer service is one of your best marketing opportunities. Today, we are going to have some fun. We're going to turn the mic around on our host, Kaylin Amadio. She'll be joining us shortly. It's also a special day for Kaylin, and we'll talk about that as well. But to get us started, I want to talk about a little bit about customer service. Customer service is not a fun topic for most people. It's something that you have to do if you're in business. You've got customers, you've got to keep them happy. But the way I look at customer service is that customer service is really a marketing opportunity. And good customer service is good marketing, and bad customer service is, well, bad marketing. One topic that I think is really accessible for most businesses and actually can help relieve some of the stress of customer service, particularly for small businesses, like I said, if you're wearing many hats, is what I call managing expectations. One of the customer service interactions tend to be stressful, either for the person calling because they're having a problem or for the person who's answering it because they have a customer who has a problem. So you want to try to reduce the stress in that interaction and make it easy on both sides. And one thing that I've found has been very effective is managing expectations. So everyone, I think, has been on a call with either their cable company or some utility where they put you on hold. And you're just sitting there and you have no idea how long it's going to take. It could be 5 minutes, it can be 30 minutes, it could be 90 minutes, and you're just sitting on hold. And as you continue to hold, you continue to get more frustrated and just more angry. And so by the time that customer service rep picks up the phone, man, you are angry. And so it's a much more conflict than there should be in that situation. So what can you do to manage expectations for your customer? Well, in that situation, imagine if instead of when you picked up the phone, you just heard that hold music, it said the hold time is going to be 90 minutes. If you'd like to hold on, please do so, or we can call you back in 90 minutes. Now, you still have to wait the same 90 minutes, but they've managed your expectations. And imagine if after 90 minutes on the nose, they picked up the phone, or if you hung up after 90 minutes, they called you back. So again, you've managed the same, you've had the same amount of time that you made a customer wait, but that you've managed their expectations, so there's less stress in the situation. The same can be done for everything that you do in terms of how you interact. Let your customers know how they can expect you to respond to customer service. If you have an email in your signature, you could say, if you send me an email, I will reply within 24 hours. So that way they don't expect an immediate response. One of the challenges of this 24-hour, 7-day-a-week pervasive communications environment that we live in is that customers expect, immediate response. But the answer is not that they expect immediate response. They expect a managed expectations of a response so they can understand what happened. So think about how in your business you can help your customers understand better how to interact with you and what to expect in terms of a customer service. And that should be part of your onboarding process with a new customer. You can tell them, look, we answer the phones and you can expect an hour response during the day. And if it's over the weekends, we'll get back to you first thing on the morning. So these are little things that you can do, but it can go a long way to easing the process with your customers. I'd like to bring on Kalyn now. Kalyn Amadio is principal of iKalyn.com, a digital marketing firm that specializes in showing smart, savvy, and motivated business owners like you how to kick up a level, even if you've tried and been disappointed before, technology just isn't your thing. She's passionate about helping local businesses thrive in an ever-changing world of internet, social media, video, and mobile technology. And, of course, she is the creator of this and host of this show, Act Local Marketing for Small Business. I've known Kalyn for quite some time. In fact, I've been on the other side of Taekwondo from Kalyn, so that's been interesting someplace that most people don't want to be. So, Kalyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan. This is very... very weird in a wonderful way.
Well, I also want to say that happy birthday. This is a big milestone birthday for you, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely, which is why we decided to turn the tables a little bit.
Yes.
Make it a little fun.
So be on the other side. So tell me, what do you think about what I talked about in terms of managing expectations in business and from your experience?
Well, when I first heard you introduce the topic, my first thought was, well, how do you manage another person's expectations? Right. You know, that's like trying to manage someone else's emotions.
Right.
You don't have a lot of control over the expectations that someone else holds. So then as I listened to you, I started to realize how you can put stepping stones in place, you know, to plant the seeds so that someone's expectations change to align with what you want them to be is really what you're talking about doing.
Right. So what advice would you give to a business? Particularly some of the ones that you work with, the smaller businesses, maybe they're not internet savvy, et cetera.
Right. Well, you know, I love the internet. How can I not want to use the internet to do some of this? But I would love to see them integrate some, you know, like Twitter, for example. Someone's on hold and to also offer them the opportunity to go to our customer service portal on Twitter and let us know that you're waiting. And if it's a quick question, someone on that portal might be able to answer it quicker than the 90 minutes you're going to wait. Please feel free to give that a try. You know, those kinds of things give people even more options as they wait in that customer service funnel to perhaps solve their problem and get them moving faster. Plus, then you're getting recognition for that amongst the whole rest of the world as they see you managing customer service.
I love that point. But I want to get to the first point you talked about, which is giving people different options, because the option they choose first to get an answer may not be the fastest one or the easiest one for you as a business. So you want to be able to guide them to how they can get their question answered quickest. And, you know, certainly if they want to sit on hold on the phone, but give them some other options. Maybe you have some FAQs online, or there's an online, you know, community portal, or like you said, for Twitter or Facebook or something like that.
So, or even a forum, you know, depending on how big the company is, they have a forum where they've got advocates or other really savvy users that get in there and talk to one another and try and solve each other's problems too. And that just requires a recording that comes on periodically to remind people that they have other avenues they could pursue to get help.
Right. So these are automated or not. I don't like automation because that's a terrible word. But these are ways that you can leverage technology when you're a small business to give a bigger impact in terms of your customer service. Is that how you look at it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if all the technology is out there. I'm sure it is. But I mean, you could even include mobile in that. You could ask, you know, leave us your mobile phone number and we'll text you 5 minutes before we're going to call. When you're up in the queue and you've got 5 minutes left, we'll text you to remind you that we're going to be calling you. That, you know, just any options that you can give someone and involve as many pieces of technology and channels as possible to communicate with them, because we communicate across way, way, way too many channels today.
That's true. And so part of managing expectations, I would think, would be telling people the best way to get the fastest response or the most accurate response to their issues, right?
Well, I don't know if I would say the best way, because it depends on the consumer, what's best for them.
Well, right? Yes. I guess you have to marry those two needs.
Yeah. Yeah. By just providing options. It's giving as many options as you're capable of keeping up with, or, you know, integrating technology so that it becomes easy for you to keep up with.
Have you seen any interesting, innovative, or you know, different ways that some of your customers do that or do provide customer support or keep their customers happy that way?
Well, at the local business level, I mean, there's not a lot of big, you know, customer service initiatives necessary. It's still a one-on-one, a phone call or a coming to the business, you know, to speak to them. It's still very old fashioned in those terms. But I do love it when, like this happened to me just a couple of weeks ago. I found something on my credit card bill that didn't make sense. So I called the phone number that was on the bill to figure out what it was I had purchased that I couldn't remember what I'd purchased. And I got an automated message telling me that everyone was busy right now and I could either hold or I could leave them my name and phone number and my message and they would call me back. And I thought, wow, that's terrific. And then, you know, enough time went by that I even forgot that I'd called them when I received the call and they straightened everything out for me. So, you know, just the simplest thing that can allow me to continue to be effective with my time is very much appreciative. And this was not a huge company. It was an internet based company, you know, an online.
So how long did they take to get back to you?
I'm going to have to guess because I really did stop looking, but I would guess it was probably somewhere between 1 and 2 hours.
But the bottom line is that you were able to do other stuff while you didn't have to sit there on hold and get frustrated and have your blood pressure go up.
Exactly, because they gave me the option immediately.
Great.
You know?
So that's fantastic. So, Kaylin, when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you a moment to prepare. We're going to turn the mic around on you for your entrepreneur journey. I know that you always ask your guests about their entrepreneur journey, and we all can't wait to hear about yours. I'm really excited to be here. But so this is Alan Berkson here with Kaylin Amadio for Act Local Marketing for Small Business. We'll be right back after the break. I feel so close to
you right now. Act Local is the place where busy entrepreneurs like you gain more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
Get ready for Smart Health with your host, Dr. Glenn Mia. Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Smart Health is a one-hour program dedicated to discussions, interviews, and news in the ever-changing world of medicine. Information leads to smart choices, and smart choices lead to a healthier lifestyle. That's the quote of host and broadcast journalist Dr. Glenn Mia, M.D. This magazine-style radio show is a fast-paced program bringing together medical experts, authors, and patients to examine what works and what doesn't in staying healthy. Dr. Glenn Mia is a board-certified physician in pediatrics and internal medicine. His philosophy to wellness starts with an investment. He says proper nutrition, rest, and exercise are the best personal investments to maintaining good health. So join us for Smart Health with Dr. Glenn Mia. Fridays at 2 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. In the annals of recorded history, there has never been anything that can compare to home movies. But now, in this modern era, where do you turn for the best information? Right here. It's the Home Movie Legacy Project, hosted by Rhonda Vigent. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Learn how to organize, digitize, share on social media, use as genealogy research, repurpose, or even monetize found footage. Discover ways to find films about your own family that you didn't even know existed, or create a documentary that can use the power of home movies to deliver a message that can impact the lives of many. For more on Rhonda and the show, go to our website, HomeMovieLegacy.com. Then be here as the journey continues with the Home Movie Legacy Project with Rob DeVigent, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you.
Welcome back to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Building on the marketing philosophy that we all have an inner warrior, part of us that demands we compete and win, that we defend our ideals, and that we take action to pursue what matters most. As a martial artist, she has lived her life by a certain code. These five words: perseverance, integrity, courtesy, self-control, and indomitable spirit. These are the foundation of her personal belief system and her corporate doctrine. And now let's return to Act Local and your host, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome back to Act Local Marketing for Small Business. This is Alan Berkson sitting in for Kaylin Amadio, because actually my guest today is Kaylin Amadio. We're turning the mic around on our host. And before the break, we talked about the fact that we'd put Kaylin through the same torture that she puts her guests through, and we're going to ask her about her entrepreneur's journey, how she got to where she was. She's a small business herself, and so she's just like, you know, all of you out there. She's got the same challenges and the same goals and dreams. So I'd like to hear how she got to where we are. So Kaylin, tell us about your entrepreneur's journey.
I'm glad you gave me the heads up, because I forgot that I do that to every guest that I first meet on the show. And it didn't occur to me that you, who I've known for 10 years or more, would do the same thing. Okay, so my entrepreneur's journey, a lot of people say that they've always been an entrepreneur. I don't think I can say that. I think that in the beginning of my career, my professional career, I bought into the idea that my parents instilled in me, in that you go to work for a good company and you work hard and you work your way up the ladder and blah, 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 blah. That's the way the world worked.
Right.
And I had always been dissatisfied with that, but I never knew why. And I had several different iterations of my career in engineering and commercial lighting design. And it was in 2007 when I was a freelancer. This should have been my first clue. When I went to work for this company, they asked me to come work for them full time, and I refused to do it because I liked being the boss of me. I liked being responsible for my time and what I did with my time and where I went and how I did it. So I offered to be a, you know, like a contract player to them. And, you know, no benefits, no vacation. When you have work, I will do the work. I'll even do it from your, you know, location. But you can't own me, was sort of the thing. And they went for that. And I worked with them for about 6 years. But in 2007, little did we all know, the economy was beginning a little bit of the downturn. And the construction industry is often an indicator of that. And commercial lighting design is part of the construction industry, as we build buildings and homes. And I found myself being home a lot more often because they didn't need me. You know, the deal was you come in when we have work. Well, they were consistently not having work for me. So I started looking around on the internet, given my particular set of skills, trying to figure out what other types of jobs can I do? What other ways can I make money? This whole concept of multiple streams of income was like, wow, to me. You mean I don't have to work for one company forever? I could actually do more than one thing at a time because I have a skill set. So this was like the beginning of enlightenment for me into becoming an entrepreneur. And it didn't take me more than about a day and a half to figure out that the internet itself was my answer, because my skill set was particular in that it was creative and design oriented in terms of form and shape and color and composition, but it was also very specific in terms of being technical, you know, being an engineer and having to understand how very technical things worked and worked well so that they functioned well in the real world. And the internet is very much like that. So I started building websites. So there was the creative design aspect of how a website worked, but there was also the behind-the-scenes coding of web pages so that they would appear the way you wanted them to appear. And I got sort of sucked into the world of internet marketing, and just as I do with everything in life, when I get interested in something, I devour it literally, and I just sucked it up like a sponge. And then a couple years later, a very wise person said to me, "Why are you not consulting with other businesses about that? You know all this stuff. What are you doing? You know, just sitting by yourself trying to make money for you and not helping anybody else with this." And that's when, you know, another epiphany moment went on over my head, that I'd been a consultant my entire life using my knowledge and skills and being paid for that in engineering. Well, why couldn't I do the same thing as an internet marketing consultant? And that's when my business pivoted into being about me and became something about helping local business owners who were confused by this whole thing, this paradigm shift that had happened.
We've talked about it before, that you're an interesting combination because you're both like a left and a right brain thinker.
Yes.
Creative side, but also the technical analytical side. And I think that you know, from my experience working with you and from the people listening to the people that you've worked with, that gives you a different take. And so you're an odd combination of both strategy and execution. I think that leads into what you do as a business. You know, you work on strategy for businesses. And I would ask you, why do small businesses need strategy? Because that's some of what you bring to the table, or a local business.
Right. And that's actually it's a leading question, but it's important. And it's something that they often ignore. We all ignore it. Because when you're a small business and you're a solopreneur, you know, you're the smallest of small businesses, you're busy doing the part of your business that you love. You're busy doing what it is you do and what you're an expert at. And if you've never been a business owner before, it doesn't take long to figure out that there's a lot more to it, and that you have to get a handle on it pretty quick, and that some of the other stuff is not very much fun. And then it starts to take away from being able to do the stuff that you thought you went into business to do in the first place. And some of the things that can help mitigate those feelings and those happenings are having strategies in place to deal with it, you know, having systems at work for you. And the sooner that you create systems and strategies in your business, even though it's not going to be the most fun thing you've ever done, the easier your life is going to become and the faster your business is going to be able to grow. And the other thing that small businesses often forget is that if they don't have systems and strategies in place, it then becomes very hard to take this business that they've built as an entity and then sell it off as a whole piece. Because if you don't have all that stuff in place, it's not whole.
Here's a question for you, because I've been told often that nobody pays for strategy, and that's for big businesses and small business. I think they think the same thing. I'd like to get advice, but I don't have a budget for it, or I can't. So I think that what you deliver, I think, is a little bit different. That's why I wanted to bring this question in. Strategy and execution go together. Because you have to have if you're a business looking to solve a problem, how would they think about looking for a service? Like what should they expect from a service like yours, I guess, is the question.
In terms of solving a problem?
Well,
because you don't have to wait till you have a problem, you know, to start figuring it out.
Right. But I guess most small businesses are going and doing their thing, and then they have some challenges, but they don't realize that there's a bigger strategy that could solve a lot of those smaller ones. So, and they don't know the right question to ask. So when they're looking for someone like you, what are the questions they should be asking themselves about their business?
Yeah, because they're you know, myopic. We all are, you know, in many ways. You can't see you can see everyone else. You can solve everybody else's problems, but you can't see your own. And maybe that's actually a good question, you know, to answer your question. is if you realize, if you've been on the planet long enough, you realize that it's very easy to look at other people and see what their problems are and have a good sense of how they can fix them, whether it's personal or whether it's in their business. You get a much broader view. And the truth is the same can be said of yourself. So you're in the middle of your business and you're on your hamster wheel, running. But you're not seeing anything change, or you're not seeing growth happen, or you can't figure out why the guy down the street seems to be growing and you're not growing, or you can't figure out why year after year it all seems to be the same and you're working so hard, so why is nothing changing? Well, it's because you're not, first of all, you're not capable of stepping outside yourself. Most people are not able to step outside and get the broader view of what's going on, and that's when it's a good idea to bring an outside source in to take a look at what you've got going so that you can get some fresh ideas. And I would even maintain, a lot of times what I hear from local businesses is something like, well, have you ever worked with a yoga studio before? And I would say the most important thing is that you don't want me to have ever worked with a yoga studio before.
Yeah, no,
because
I call that the myth.
I'm not going to be stuck inside a box, right?
I call it the myth of industry expertise, meaning the fact that you have to have worked with a particular type of business in order to understand it. Continue with what you were saying, though.
Yeah, and that's absolutely false, because there are very little things that are different from business to business to business. And when it comes to strategy and marketing, by and large, the business itself is the interchangeable part.
Right.
I don't care if it's a gas station or a yoga studio or a dry cleaner or a car dealership. That's interchangeable, and you can still create a strategy and a plan to get them found and get them known and bring more business in.
That's great. Well, they say if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so when we come back after the break, I want to see if we can get you to talk about some of the steps that we can take as a business to start a plan, to plan for the future of the business. This is Alan Berkson with Kaylin Amadio on Act Local Marketing for Small Business.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
Act Local is the place where busy entrepreneurs like you gain more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
If you could live your life truly standing in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, wouldn't that make your heart soar? Now you can, with Lessons in Joyful Living, with your host, Kimberly Rinaldi, Mondays at noon Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Kimberly Rinaldi, having created a highly successful coaching practice, now teaches Lessons in Joyful Living. She believes in empowering others and that through it, you have the ability to break through any and all barriers, thus allowing you to reach your greatest potential and joyfully step into your life's purpose. What used to take weeks, months, or even years, she can now teach you in a matter of hours with her programs. For more on Kim and her show, go to her website, KimberlyRinaldi.com. That's RINALDI.com. Then join us for Lessons in Joyful Living with your host, Kimberly Rinaldi, Mondays at noon Central, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Information about book publishing is power. The power to change your authoring life and the power to change the lives of your readers. So join us for Your Guide to Book Publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask, with your host, Dr. Judith Bryles, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific on the Rockstar Radio Network. You'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now, as the book shepherd, Dr. Judith Bryles, is in. And each week, she will include publishing professionals that will reveal tips and secrets to the author's journey. If there is a book in you, you want to listen, learn, and yes, call in with your questions each week. For more on Judith and what she can do for you, check out her website, thebookshepherd.com. It's your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. Brought to you by Author You and The Book Shepherd with your host, Dr. Judith Briles. Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Rockstar Radio Network.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you.
Welcome back to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Building on the marketing philosophy that we all have an inner warrior, part of us that demands we compete and win, that we defend our ideals, and that we take action to pursue what matters most. As a martial artist, she has lived her life by a certain code. These five words: perseverance, integrity, courtesy, self-control, and indomitable spirit. These are the foundation of her personal belief system and her corporate doctrine. And now let's return to Act Local and your host, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome back to Act Local Marketing. This is Alan Berkson, and I've turned the mic around today on our host, Kaylin Amadio. We've been talking about strategy for small businesses, and we were going to come back and talk about a plan. But before they do that, I have to just say, in my head, whenever I hear that Taekwondo, you know, the third degree black belt, in my head I have a picture, because Kaylin and I have done Taekwondo together, and during one black belt test, she beat me up pretty good. So that's the picture I have in my head whenever I hear that.
And I don't even remember that, Alan. I don't remember beating you up.
No. We were doing practice forms. But the picture I have is me lying on the ground and you like punching me or something. So
I apologize.
That's quite all right. So before the break, we talked about planning and how small businesses should plan. So what's your philosophy on that? How do you approach that with a small business?
Well, when it comes to not just marketing, but especially marketing, since that's, you know, the bailiwick that I've you know, put myself in. Planning, first of all, is an opportunity, right? Yes, it's a chore. I'm not gonna lie and tell you that the peas taste like candy when you don't like peas and you should just eat them anyway. Planning's a chore, but it's also a huge opportunity because it's a chance to, you know, review your current plan if you actually have one. And if you don't, it's a way to, you know, examine whatever your current goals are so that you can move forward, right? So planning is essential in order to get you where you want to go. I mean, you don't go on a vacation without planning. I mean, some people might. I don't know. Maybe you just decide to get on a plane and you go to Nepal and you see what happens. But most people don't do that. They at least have some sense of when am I going to arrive and where am I going to stay and kind of what am I going to do on there? When am I going to leave? They have at least some sense of it, even people who like to loosely, you know, make a plan. So it's important if you want to get where it is you think you want to go.
Yeah, I would say some people put more planning into their vacations than they do into their businesses.
You know what? You're absolutely right. They do, because the vacation's more fun. But, you know, maybe your business would be more fun if you had a plan in place that you knew what needed to be done, who was going to do it, and you could delegate and relinquish certain activities that you know you don't have to be responsible for to someone else to get done.
Right.
So that things can keep moving forward.
And that's, I guess that's part of what you said before about bringing in an outside eye to look at your business. And you know, you sometimes can't see, you know, what is it? You can't see that what's, you know, that mote in your own eye, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you focus a lot on content.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's one of my favorite topics is content. It's about being able to help your business tell your business's story so people understand it and can relate to it and connect to it to lead towards the buying process. What's your take on that, or your philosophy in terms of that?
Well, content is where all the fun happens in marketing. You know, people who business owners who like to do their own marketing because they enjoy it and it's a creative outlet for them. Building the content's where all the fun begins. But I would say that the plan starts maybe two steps before that. And the first one being figuring out who your customer actually is. right? I think it's you that has said that a lot of businesses don't actually know what business they're in. And if
I've
you don't really know what business you're in, how do you know who your ideal customers really are?
Well, that's a good statement. Let's tell everybody what you mean by that, because I think that's important.
Well, that's another you can't see the forest through the trees kind of thing. You go about your daily business doing the things that you do, and you don't see the value in some of the things you do that might be different from your competitors or that might be unique to you or your business entity itself. And they're marketable things that you don't even see, because once again, you can't really see yourself because you're too close to it all. So it seems humdrum, ordinary. Oh yeah, we do this every day in order to get from point A to point B. What's the big deal?
Right. I mean, the example I usually use is I ask somebody what they do. They say, I'm an accountant. And I say, well, okay, what type of customers do you have? Well, I mostly focus on medical practitioners. Oh, okay. And any particular type of medical practitioners? Oh, yeah, I mostly work with orthopedic surgeons. And then I say, well, okay, so you're really not in the accounting business. You're in the helping orthopedic surgeons with their finances business. And it's subtle, but it's a difference, right?
Yeah, it's a huge shift in the mindset, and that goes back to what I was talking about, this first point. Who is your customer? And if you're not sure who your ideal customer is, I always tell businesses to think about who their favorite customers are that they already have, their customers or clients. Who are some of their favorites for whatever reason? It's that customer that you do business with, that you really enjoy doing business with, and you wish you had 100 of them, you know, in your pipeline, because there's just something about them that works for you, and you work for them, and it's an ideal relationship. That person, your ideal customer or client, you might have more than one type. They might all not fit the same mold, and for however many you have, for however many reasons or niches or different brands you might have, each one of those people is a model for you to create a fictional ideal customer persona.
I love that. I hope people were listening. Who are your favorite customers? Because that really is, you know, the people that you most enjoy delivering services or products to are probably the ones that you know, if you're happy to, what I mean is if you're happy doing it, you're giving the best service.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So find more like them. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's one of those relationships where, you know, you're doing more for them and they're liking you more, and then you want to do more for them. And, you know, it's something that builds on itself, as opposed to being, you know, we all often, I shouldn't say often, but we've all had the customers that, you know, suck our energy right out of us, you know, into the downward spiral. And those are the customers you don't want more of. So you might as well identify them too and make sure that you're, when you get to the point where you build your content, that you're not attracting the ones you don't want either. So be very cognizant of who your customer is, and more importantly, who your ideal customer is, so that you can attract more of them. And then the second point before you start to get to the fun part of the content, after you've identified who your customer is, then you have to figure out where they are. Right?
And because where is not just geography.
Right. We have, you know, our real world, especially at the, you know, the Main Street USA level and the local business level, we have real life. And then we have the matrix, you know, we have the virtual infinite world of online. And if you identify those customer personas, you might very well know exactly where they are in the real world, or be able to get a good sense of the place where you can find more of that same type of customer in the real world. But in the online world, it might not be intuitive. In fact, it probably won't be intuitive. And you're going to have to do a little research, or you're going to have to hire someone like me to help you figure out where those ideal customers are, because that's also going to help you save time in the long run. I mean, a big thing businesses, small businesses and local businesses complain about the online world and social media, right, and websites and blogging, is they say it takes up too much time. How am I supposed to spend that much time when I've got a whole business to run? Well, that's why planning and strategy matters. You take the time up front to prep everything, and then from that point on, it's easy and not time consuming, and you get return on your investment rather than taking the spaghetti cannon approach.
Right. Let's talk about content for a minute, because I'm a small business and I have a brochure, which is content, and I have my website, which is content. And so what else do I need? Meaning, I think that there's, when you say content, it's a scary word for, and so being able to break down what it means to a business and why it's important.
Right. So content is really all of the messages that you share in terms of bringing customers and clients to your business. So, you know, content are the billboards on I-95, right? Content are the advertisements that you see in magazines and in newspapers. Content are books that you might write, you know, to further your expertise in a particular industry. They might be the blog posts that are online. They can be the Valpak coupons that you're putting out. It can be your Yellow Pages ad. It can be your social media post. Content is all the stuff that you put out into the marketplace in order to draw your ideal customers to your business. So it's everything. It's all of your messaging.
Now, as if I'm a small business, I just got a little nervous.
Don't worry. I'm here. There's no reason to be nervous.
And so I guess that's where the planning comes, is to decide where, what content to start with, where you can be most effective, and how you can apply your limited time to that.
Exactly. So imagine your possibilities are infinite. So where do you start? Well, if you know who your customer is and you know where your customer is, you've just narrowed it down tremendously, what your content needs to say and where you're going to share it. Because you only want to spend the time and energy and money to put it in front of where your ideal prospects are.
Right. Well, when we come back from the break, I want to get into more about content, some of the do's and don'ts, and perhaps maybe, you know, where many businesses can start to dip their toe in the water of content. And, of course, the most important part of it, which is how do we know that it's working? How can we see that we're, you know, it's being effective, and know that we're spending that it's time well spent. This is Alan Berkson. I'm here with Kaylin Amadio on Act Local Marketing for Small Business.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
Act Local is the place where busy entrepreneurs like you gain more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
Get ready for Wise Up Radio, leveraging your learning, leadership, and legacy with Donna Kimbrand, the edgy evolutionary, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. If you're an entrepreneurial leader or visionary, stay ahead of your game with insights, tools, and strategies that give you the thought leader's edge. Each week, join Donna and her guests as she'll ask the edgy questions, help you discover game-changing shortcuts to better thinking and learning, how to explore the ripple effects of leadership excellence, and how to create your life as a living legacy, where the legacy you leave is the life you live. As thought leaders, you need strategies to help you enjoy the confidence and thrill of riding the wave of rapid change. For more on Donna, check out her website, GameChangerThinking.com. Then join the conversation and sharpen up your wits on Wise Up Radio with Donna Kimbrand, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Get ready to learn how to drive your business forward. It's Joe DeShera's Entrepreneur Success Radio with Joe DeShera and Deirdre Winrick. Every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Let them help you drive your business forward with pragmatic solutions to your business's roadblocks. Whether you've been in business for many years or just starting out, they are dedicated to propelling you to tap into your burning desires that can turn your ideas into a profitable business. Every Wednesday, tune in to learn how to get on the road to success. Take control of your business and your life. Get out-of-the-box ideas for your business success. How to run a highly efficient business, and how to love your business. For more on Joe, check out his website, microbusinesspros.com. Then join us for Joe DeShera's Entrepreneur Success Radio with Joe DeShera and Deirdre Winrick, Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you.
Welcome back to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Building on the marketing philosophy that we all have an inner warrior, part of us that demands we compete and win, that we defend our ideals, and that we take action to pursue what matters most. As a martial artist, she has lived her life by a certain code. These five words: perseverance, integrity, courtesy, self-control, and indomitable spirit. These are the foundation of her personal belief system and her corporate doctrine. And now let's return to Act Local and your host, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome back to Act Local Marketing for Small Business. This is Alan Berkson. I am here with Kaylin Amadio. We are giving her a birthday present by turning the mic around on our host and hearing about her entrepreneurial journey and some of her tips for how she does her business. Before the break, we were talking about content. And I'd like to see what you would recommend in terms of do's and don'ts for content.
Okay. And I know we talked about content sort of conceptually, so let me be a little more concrete about it, because there's really no need to reinvent the wheel here. I mean, you can if you really want to. If you're that creative and that, you know, juices you up, go ahead and reinvent the wheel. But if this all seems like a big challenge and you're still worried about where to start, just piggyback on holidays and seasonal events that already exist in our world. So I would just get, let's say 2014 is coming up and you're going to tackle this project and be ready for 2014. So get a calendar. And it's easy. I mean, Google Calendar, anywhere online, you can get a calendar that will identify for you the common holidays in your country. We're in the U.S., so I always think in terms of U.S. holidays. And you can begin to identify common seasonal events that happen. So what do I mean by that? So back to school, right, is a seasonal event. Super Bowl, right, could be sports-related things. It can be returning from school, right? There's all kinds of – June is the wedding month typically, quote unquote. There's lots of seasonal events that happen in our lives that have things wrapped around them that we all sort of expect. So there's no reason not to piggyback on that stuff. There are even you know, weather-related or philanthropic efforts, right? There are certain – walks, you know, March of Dime walks, the New York City Marathon. There are various things that go on, and they go on at the same time every year. So you can start to map that all out in a calendar, and depending on what your business is, you can figure out which ones make sense for you to be involved in, given your business, right?
Now, let me ask you a question. So I always like to start with the question, why? Mm-hmm. Why? What am I trying to accomplish with, you know, I know that I have my brochure. It gives people information about what my business does, and my website gives them more information about what it does and how to contact me. Why am I doing this other content? What is that doing for my business?
Well, the other content we're talking about, because we're talking in terms of, you know, mostly we're thinking online, but it's offline too, you know, using print to amplify what you're doing online, or vice versa, using online to amplify what you're doing in print in the real world. You want to remind people about your business, the stuff that's in your brochure. You want to remind people that you're there and why you're there and why your business is doing what it's doing and who you can help and who you can serve and what it is you're up to. And you need to be doing that consistently all year long. And just because your website is up doesn't mean people are going to it. And just because you have a brochure doesn't mean people are picking it up when they walk by your shop. You need to expand your reach. And one of the ways that you can, you know, feed people the same information over and over and over again, day in and day out, without boring them, is by piggybacking on holidays and seasonal events of our lives and making your message mesh with the things that are already going on for us.
So putting your business in context of what's going on, whether it's a holiday or an event or a season, et cetera.
Right, exactly.
So that's a do. What shouldn't you do?
Well,
give me a do.
It is a do, but remember, don't overdo it, right? If you look at a calendar and you start to identify all this stuff and you can find 45 holidays and events that happen every month, that doesn't mean you should be using all 45 of them. Right.
Right.
So don't overdo it. I'm trying to give you a starting point and a place to sort of toss everything around and see what looks good to you. Right. Then start culling from the herd and just bringing it down to the two or the three or the four most appropriate holidays and themes that you can be using. And definitely don't target a specific holiday by its date necessarily, because I mean, we start enjoying Christmas in July, right? Just
right.
To be a little facetious. It's not really true. We all complain about that, but right. You know what I mean? We talk about back to school in July, even though the kids aren't going back till August or September. So it's more of a feeling that people have in a time frame, because unfortunately none of us live now. We don't live in the moment. We all live in the future. So on today is Friday, maybe even on Thursday night, people are already living in the weekend. They're already looking forward to it. And on Sunday afternoon, they're already dreading going back to work on Monday. So we're constantly living in the future. So take advantage of that and think of even a holiday itself as sort of an event that happens over time as opposed to a specific date. But don't pick all of them. You don't need to overdo it. You know, two or three or four at most. Four is probably too many in a given month to sort of contain your consistent message and piggyback on the things that are already on people's mind. It'll be enough. Don't overdo it.
Right. Well, we're running short on time, and I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about social media, because that's one of the things I love to hear you talk about. And every business out there is interested and scared.
Yes.
They poke it with a stick and they know it's important, but they're not sure what to do with it. In just a minute or two, what advice can you give for a small business in terms of getting started or thinking about social media?
Yeah, well, you know, at a certain age group, and we're celebrating my 50th birthday today. We danced around that. We didn't tell anyone, but it's my 50th birthday today, and I am a baby boomer. I'm at the end of the boom.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of people in the boomer category got caught off guard by this whole social media thing, and we don't communicate the same way anymore. 20-year-olds and 70-year-olds don't communicate the same way. We have a vast array, as you well know, of ways to communicate. But you can't let that scare you. You can still be everywhere. You just have to be smart about being everywhere. And I know that's easy for me to say and hard to do, but that's why strategy helps. If you plan how to do this, then it's suddenly not so scary. And the worst thing you can do is worse than letting it overwhelm you, looking at this whole big infinite space and saying, that's overwhelming, I'm just not going to do it. Because that's a death sentence in its own way, because eventually you'll become irrelevant. But I think what's worse is to just jump in with both feet with no plan and no thought and just start pushing out content and messages and doing it wrong is worse right. than not doing it at all, because you only get that, you know, first opportunity to make a good first impression. And once you've blown that, you know, that's a lot of goodwill that you've lost.
And I would add that social media is important, being able to be where your customers are speaking and having conversations is important. And having a guide, if you're nervous about it, you know, when you travel and you're not sure where you're going, you get yourself a guide. And I think that's where you fit in terms of being a guide to get to help businesses know where to start and to sort of get around the trouble points or the dangers.
Right. And I know that saying, oh, we're going to start with a plan. And sometimes my clients will go, oh, well, that's sort of disappointing. I was hoping it was going to be more exciting than that. But, you know, the reality is, I mean, I'm sorry, that's the logical thinker in me. I don't know which side it is, my left or my right. But that's the side that says, no, we can't start having fun until we get some things in place. Then we can have all the fun we want. And it's going to be worthwhile fun, but not till we get a few parameters in place. Otherwise, we're a hamster on a wheel.
So
and
how
that's
do we
no fun.
So how do we know it's working?
Well, there's another good point. We could do a whole nother show on that. You got to identify metrics up front. You have to decide what it is you're trying to accomplish, right? Are you trying to get your phone to ring 20% more often? Are you trying to get people to walk by your establishment and come in 15% more? Are you, you know, there have to be some metrics. You can't just go into it and say, well, gee, I hope my business improves. Well, what are you measuring it against? Right. You have to know what you've got going now and then say, okay, here's my goal. I want to increase A, B, and C by these percentages over this period of time. Now, if you don't meet those goals, that's okay too. You're sort of making this thing up. They might have been unrealistic goals. You don't know yet until you start doing it. But then you adjust, you rinse, you repeat, you keep course correcting as you head from here to there. It's never a straight shot.
Right, right. Well, we've heard a lot of great stuff from you, Kaylin, today. Please tell us and tell the listeners how they can reach you, so they can work with you.
Absolutely. They can go to my corporate website, which is ikaylin.com, and I never spell it. I'll spell it. It's ikaylinn.com. That's my corporate site. And you can also contact me on my blog, which is kaylinamadio.com, kaylinamadio.com. And if you're in the Westchester or tri-state area here in New York, I'll be teaching a class at the Westchester Community College at the Gateway for Entrepreneurship on October 24th. So catch my email address on either one of those websites and tell me that you want to know more about that course, because we're going to talk about the business of social media just in general for local businesses, small businesses. Shoot, I'll even let a big business come if they really want to. I'm not going to say no.
That's great. Well, thank you, Kaylin, for letting us turn the mic around on you. We learned a lot about strategy and content for small businesses. This is Alan Bergson, sitting in with Kaylin Amadio for Act Local Marketing. See you soon.
Join Kaylin for some Monday morning marketing madness every week at the same time on Act Local. It will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Act Local, marketing for small business.